It was in fourth grade, and we're sitting with our class in the school library in North Shore Elementary School. And library was just finishing up, and we were getting ready to go back to the classroom, and we're just kind of sitting there around tables, and one of the popular girls in the class, she looked around the room. She said, "Nobody in our class is fat, except maybe for Andrew." And now, I've actually never really had a problem with my weight. And I can only imagine how hurtful things like that would be if I had. But, you know, aside from the reality of whether I was heavy or not, I got the message that day. In this class, you, Andrew, you don't belong. And it's really weird, isn't it? That, I mean, it's almost 30 years after that day, and I remember that. Isn't that strange? There are words at particular points in life that just somehow, for whatever reason, manage to just burrow under our defenses and get in and grab us. And though I've never actually, I mean, from a medical perspective, had a problem with my weight, that word has stuck with me. Andrew, you're fat. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? I remember almost nothing else from fourth grade, but I remember that very clearly. And I remember that day, and I remember that room. And I don't think I'm alone with that. I think if we were being really honest with each other, some of the things for you that have hurt the most at key points in life are, it's a word, something that just got under all the defenses and just stung. You know, there's that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But it's just not true. It's an old saying, but it's not a true saying. Because I've been hit by many sticks and stones, most of them stray and a few of them accidental, and for the most part I've forgotten them, and I've healed from them. But there are words that break the spirit, that just hurt so bad, and they stick for whatever reason. They just stick, and they cause damage. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because you've been there. We've all been there. And actually, what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to kind of set you up for what I'm going to be asking you to do about maybe 10 to 15 minutes from now. And I realize that this could be a very difficult exercise, okay? There's some index cards inside your bulletins, right? And as a word comes to mind, words that have been hurtful to you, I'm not going to ask you to show these cards to anyone, but I'd like you to write a word down on them. I'm showing you, but you don't need to show anyone. And towards the end of the worship service, this is what I'm going to have you do with them, okay? Is as communion is being served, I want you to come up, and we're going to take those words to the cross, and underneath the cross there are shredders, shredding machines. And we're going to shred those words and take away a new word from there. And I'm telling you in advance because I realize if you're really thinking about this, and I believe every person here today has had words that surround you, maybe words like the words on the wall right now, words that have defined and marked your life. If you are really honest about writing down those words, because, I mean, to be frank, that fourth grade story is a tame one. I mean, because I'm really not fat. But that word, it hurt so bad that day. There are words that have struck me that I wouldn't feel safe sharing with you just yet, because if I'm that vulnerable, there's a pretty good chance you could use that word and then you could use that same word against me. This word that for whatever reason has just tremendous power to get underneath the surface and pick and bore away and sting the very core of who I am. And there are words just like that for you. I'm not going to ask you to share that word with anybody, but I would like you to consider writing that down. What's your word today? Loser? ugly. You'll never amount to anything. I'm ashamed of you. I'm disappointed. Why do you even try? You're useless. There are phrases. They hurt. They get right underneath the surface. And it's like they take away the foundation of who we are. Now, maybe it should be no great surprise that words are so powerful, because the Bible tells us that as human beings, we are created in the image of God, and God uses words. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe, believe it or not. By a word, the world was created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we learn that Jesus himself is referred to as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Words are so powerful. They make worlds. Now, we don't make worlds like God makes worlds. God speaks, and scientists call it the Big Bang. But we still, the words that surround our life, they make our worlds. You are, to a great degree, you are the product of the words that have been spoken to you. Words of teaching and education that you heard, or maybe you didn't hear, or you didn't have the privilege of hearing. Words of affirmation and love and acceptance that you heard or you didn't hear. Words of encouragement that you heard or maybe you didn't hear. There are words that build us up. There are words that, because they are withheld, affirmation that is withheld, encouragement that is withheld, that wear you down. And there are words that sting, that get right to the core of who you are, that tear you down. You are a product of your words. Words have made your world. Now, for many of us this morning, we read in Proverbs chapter 10. We've been going on through the 31-day Proverbs challenge, and we've been asking people to each morning pray, say, Lord, speak to me through your word. And we read a chapter, takes maybe 5 minutes or less, and look for a word, a phrase, a verse to kind of come alive to us. Just catch our attention, and then we pay attention to that. Lord, what are you trying to teach me through that word? And for the next couple of moments, I want to take us through chapter 10 and just look at some of the verses in that chapter that refer to words. Okay? So I'm not going to read the entire chapter, even honestly, in every verse, but I want to hit these really key ones. Chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool, the other translation, the babbling fool, comes to ruin. Whoever winks maliciously. Now, some of you want to wink right now, don't you? I could totally want to. Okay. They come to grief. It's a bad idea. Don't wink maliciously. And a chattering fool comes to ruin. Just because someone has something to say doesn't mean that it's a good thing to listen to. You ever notice how after a disaster, immediately there are people that come on TV and talk? That doesn't mean they have anything to say. Right? Or as we keep going, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. A fountain of life. There are people that in your life have been a fountain of life, and the way they built you up, it was with their words. So you stuck close and you listened, and you knew if you went to them that you would feel better. And even more importantly, if they were truly a wise person, you would be better as a result. And it was a result of their words. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We tear each other down with sarcasm and that humor that, I mean, it's sort of funny, and so it's socially accepted, and yet, oh, you know what it means. You know what it means. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Doesn't mean that it denies it or sweeps it under the rug, but it puts it in perspective And it makes bad things okay. It brings healing. And keep going, please. 13, wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one who has no sense. 14, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. 18, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words. You know, you try to talk yourself out of something. And what do you talk yourself? You talk yourself deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We've all kind of been there, right? You multiply your words, and all you're doing is chewing faster to the bottom. But the prudent hold their tongues. Yeah, I should listen to that more. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. You want to know something that really is valuable? Somebody that can speak good words. They're a treasure. Their tongue is a precious gift. But the heart of the wicked is of little value. I love this verse 21. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Our souls long for good words, like our bodies long for good food. What kind of a word diet is in your life today? Because, you know, we don't have the choice over every word that comes into our life. There's people that talk that we didn't want to hear. There's words that are posted on billboards we didn't want to see, but we do. But you have choice over words. You have choice over what words you allow into your home, what words you allow into your marriage. Are we welcoming and paying actors and entertainers to say things to us that we wouldn't want our friends to say? What words? What words do you welcome into your home? Because there's words that nourish. There's words that build up. There's words that make you better. And there's words that tear you down and wear you down. But fools die for lack of sense because they're not hearing the good words. They don't hear it. Like a starving person longing for food. Your soul longs for good words to be spoken into your life. Or to make a little summary sheet. I know this is a little geeky, but I'm a little geeky, so it's cool. All right. So foolish and wicked people. The Bible says they chatter, they conceal violence and hatred, they stir up conflict, they invite ruin, they spread slander, they continue sin. But the wise and the righteous, they accept commands. They are a fountain of life. Their words covers over wrong. Remember, that's not a concealing. It's a healing. Healing the wrongs. Cover over like a band-aid covers over a wound. The words of the wise and righteous are like choice silver. When you find it, hang on to it like your wedding band. Hang on to it. Hang on to it like your wallet. Because the words, good words in your life, nourish people. They build people up. You and I, we are a product of our words. We're not entirely formed by the words, but we are significantly formed by the words. If you've heard me talk for any amount of time, you hear me talk with great fondness of the mentors in my life. There are people, there are men, some men in particular, that took significant time out of their life, older men, to speak into my life and to build me up at very key points. And you know how they did it? They did it with words. Every person that has built you up, every person that has caused you to believe in yourself, yes, I see that talent in you. Yes, I see that gift in you, Andrew. Andrew, I see God's call in your life in this area. Very concrete. This isn't idle flattery. This isn't somebody that's just trying to blah, blah, blah to make me feel good about them. These are very choice selected words like a careful builder placing them in a wall that is being constructed, a piece of art that is being made, a very carefully placed word, and they are placed into my life, and I pray you have people in your life that can place words in your life like that. They build you up. Words form us. As you look around the room, there are words that surround us. And some of those words about you are true. Some of them are not true. Some of them are not true. And they have still gotten underneath all your defenses. And they have lodged in your heart. And they are a lie that you still believe. Words, they form us. I hope you're being bold enough on that index card to write down a word. I am not going to make you share it with anybody. But if you're really being honest about a word that is hurt, I mean, your hand will probably be trembling as you write it. You're feeling your heartbeat a little bit faster because you know this is a word where you are vulnerable. It has been spoken to you. It is hurt. It has stung. It has formed you. You loser. You useless. And it's not true, but it got in. But not only do words form us, we form words. And we speak to the people around us, and the words that we speak, they form the worlds of others. The greatest regrets in my life, I'm sad to say, the greatest regrets in my life have to do with my words. Words I shouldn't have spoken, and I did anyways, and it hurt, it betrayed, it tore somebody down, it got underneath their defenses, and like a hand grenade, it blew up in their soul. There's still shrapnel from it. I've hurt people, and my greatest hurts are with words. Words, they are so powerful. We form words. Jesus tells us this about words because, you know, we can read the book of Proverbs, and if we read it without the lens of the gospel, we can read it kind of as a great big to-do list, like a big list of shoulds, like you should talk better. Watch your tongue, young man. You watch your tongue, young lady, because only righteous people speak good words and fools speak bad words. And that's not the entire truth. It's not just a to-do list. Jesus tells us this in the book of Luke. He says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Hear that truth. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or you could maybe put it this way, angry people speak angry words. Hurt people speak hurting words. So what we really need today when we're thinking about words, the words that have wounded us and the words by which we have wounded others, we don't so much need, you know, like tongue electric shock therapy, you know, put little like word guard on your mouth every time you say a bad thing. They buzz. It's a little funny to think about, but it really wouldn't help. Because we don't need a tongue transplant, we need a heart transplant. We need new words to be lodged in our heart. Because when those words, when the good words get lodged in our heart, then they can come out and we can share them. So you need a good word. And so what I'm going to ask us to do in just a moment, and I hope you are being honest enough with those cards, I promise I will not make you share them with anybody, because if you're really being honest today with God, these words are going to feel vulnerable. They're going to be a little bit scary. I'm going to write down a word that you're not going to see. And I want you to do the same, because what I'm going to ask you to do, we started our worship service off with the I'm trading. Trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame for the joy of the Lord. We're going to make a trade. What I'm going to ask us to do we're going to actually not even sing a song right away. We're going to start moving towards communion. And what I'm going to ask us to do is we're going to have our communion service up around the, kind of close to the communion table. And I'd like to ask you to come in, and please be bold enough to do this. I understand I'm asking you to do something that if you're really engaged in this, it is going to feel a little bit scary and a little bit vulnerable, okay? Is to take that word that has hurt you Take it to the cross and shred it there. Leave it there. Listen to the blades, chop it up, and then take a new word from the cross. Trade. You need to lay down some bad words, and you need to let the truth in. Lay down the lie and pick up the truth. Because there is one word that God has spoken that is more clear than every other. That word is Jesus. Jesus is God's word. He is the word that says, you matter. I love you. You are precious. You are valuable. And some of you, you don't believe that. Or at least you are hanging on to some words that tell you otherwise. And you've lived them out. You've spoken them out. They've leaked out of you and they are hurting the people around you. So please, trade them in. Those words are of no value to you anymore because they are not your words. God has a new word for you. You're beloved. You're redeemed. You are priceless. You are precious. Lay down the lie, shred it at the cross, and pick up a better word. So that's what I'm going to ask us to do. Now, to kind of make it a little bit easier, we're going to actually pass around the offering plates. We're going to kind of pretend like everything's normal, right? Okay? And I'd like you to write down, you can just write it down teeny tiny so nobody can see you. You can write it down in Pig Latin so no one can understand you. But I'd like you to write a word down. Because you've had words in your life, and they sting. They may continue to sting. They may continue to stick, and you have got to lay it down. You have got to lay it down. Those words are not you anymore. If you belong to Jesus, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is gone. The old is gone, and the new has come. And in Jesus, through Jesus, you are a child of God. So don't cling any longer to those old words. So I'm going to pray, and if you can even write with your eyes closed, that'd be cool. That'd be great. But I want to see some writing. Let's do some business with the Lord today in the area of words. The offering plates are being passed, if you need to, you can pick up and grab a pen, because I know you sneak by the people with the pens. They try to hand them to you every week, but you're like, I don't need a pen. Yes, you need a pen. You could borrow it from a neighbor. Whatever you need to do, you could write it down and just in your spit, and just so only you know the word. I don't care how you do it. But you need a heart transplant today. God offers it at the cross. Lay down the bad words. Lay them down. Leave them there. And pick up his new word. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, there are words that get spoken to us that hurt. And there are words that we speak to others that hurt. They get under the defenses, they like a Jenga tower, it pulls out the bottom block, and it feels like everything falls apart. And we've believed, we've hung on to these lies, some of us, for quite some time. I pray that this morning might be the first step of laying them down, shredding them at the cross, leaving them there, and taking your new word with us. So this is a bit of a scary thing. God, I pray that you would use this exercise in some way, in whatever way people feel comfortable. I just pray you'd use it for good. So bless us, Lord, as we give, as we respond to you with our tithes and offerings. And Lord, bless us, we pray, as we give of ourselves to you. We trust you with our pain. We lay it down. Thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.